Listening to Morning Devotions during the next 30 minutes. I tell you what, when David stood in awe of the presence and omnipotence of God and wrote about it in Psalm 139, and if you were to read those words yourself, you would understand why people would want to bless the name of the Lord and exalt Him. Because David is speaking of God's all-seeing eye and His inescapable presence. And to the man who walks with God, those are good thoughts. They're not scary thoughts. When you think of God's all-seeing eye and His inescapable presence, if your heart is right with God, oh, that's wonderful to think that wherever you may be, God is right there with you. He sees you. He knows you. Now, to someone walking out of fellowship with Christ and going in the opposite direction, that's not a very pleasant thought, to think that there is no place in all this world where you can hide from God. But you don't have to live like that. You don't have to keep things in your closet and things held in secrecy. You can live honest and above board. You can repent of all your sins, all your wrongdoings, make things right with God, make things right with your fellow man, and start living right and doing God's will. And then when you read these verses, like in Psalm 139, it'll make your heart sing for joy to know that God knows all about you, and wherever you are, He's there. David said, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my inward parts. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and intricately wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unformed, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also were thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Don't you think David had a deep appreciation for the omnipotence and omnipresence of God and his love for God? And continually he would exalt him and praise him. Our trouble is we think about so many other things rather than God. We think about our problems. We get all tangled up in our distractions, just like the thorns that grew up and choked that fruit that was growing because of the seed that was sown in the heart. Distractions, worldly cares, business, and not just sinful things, but just getting caught up in the business of living and all the responsibilities, and we don't set our priorities right. We put everything else first and God last. Well, that's the purpose of these morning devotion programs, is to encourage all of us to put God first in your life. Of course you have to go out there and make a living, and of course there are responsibilities that you have to fulfill. But would it not be better for us to do those things not in our own strength, but to go forth in the name of the Lord and in His strength and His help? And if first thing in the morning, if our hearts can become calm and still within us, and if we can become aware again of the greatness of our God, and the fact that He knows all my downsittings and all my uprisings, and there's not a word in my tongue but what He knows, and there's not a thought in my mind but what He knows. And wherever I may be, if I take the wings of the morning and go dwell in some uncharted island, I'll find that God was already there before I got there. Well, that's wonderful. That's encouraging. And if we put God first in our life and begin to think of Him and focus our attention on Him rather than all our responsibilities and the pressures of life and all the things that are required of us to do, if we'll think of Jesus first, and worship Him, and exalt Him, and praise Him, the rest of our day is going to go so much better. So let's exalt the Lord today. Let's praise Him for His inescapable presence and His all-seeing eye.
Every morning, His love and His power abound in all of the earth and heaven. None other like Him is found. He's given me beauty for ashes. I'm clothed in a garment of praise. Exalt Him, Almighty King. Exalt Him, God of everything. Exalt Him, I lift my voice and exalt the Lord of Lords. Exalt Him, Almighty King. I've learned that when I put my faith in God, my faith puts God at His best. Never one time has He failed me. He's never once left me alone. Exalt Him, Almighty King. Exalt Him.
And I think I just want to pray for you right now, wherever you may be. I know that there is a God in heaven who cares and loves every one of us. It's what the Bible says. And that's the purpose of this broadcast, to remind you and me every day, again and again, repeatedly, that even at times when you feel all alone, there is a God in heaven who loves you and cares for you. And the fact that the water is never so deep, but what God's grace will bring you through it if you'll cry out to Him. Let's just pray together right now. Lord Jesus, from our hearts we want to exalt You and praise You and worship You. You know all about us. You know the struggles that we face, the wrestlings we go through. You know all of our victories, our strong points, and You know all our failures and our weak points and where we are vulnerable. We just pray that the Lord will strengthen us to really and truly be men and women of God. How well do we know that there are so many phonies and counterfeits and extremism and people going off in the wrong direction. Lord, we just want to be Your man, Your woman, pleasing in Your sight. There's nothing that would make us happier than someday to hear our Savior say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful." Lord, that's what we want. But we don't know how. And we pray today that You would teach us Your secrets. Teach us, Lord, Your secrets, how to live an overcoming, happy, victorious life, filled with the Holy Spirit, full of the love of God, full of patience, full of long-suffering, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost. We don't know how, but we sit a learner at Jesus' feet, and we ask You to teach us. And lay Your hand upon us, each one of us. My friends who are praying with me right now, Lord, lay Your hand upon them and touch them. Give them Your healing touch in every area of their life. Spiritually, bring healing and wholeness to them. Physically, touch and heal them. Because we know that You were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon You, and with Your stripes we are healed. So we claim that right now in Jesus' name. I pray for Your healing of their finances, healing of their broken relationships, healing of their broken heart. Oh, Master, touch us today. Because we know that You are a healing Jesus. And we come to You in faith, believing in Jesus' name.
When walking by the sea, come and follow me. Jesus called. Then all through Galilee, the sick and the diseased. Just the same as when He walked the shore. This God of yesterday is still the healing Jesus now and evermore. What a healing Jesus I found.
meaningful song. What a healing Jesus he is to you and me, if we'll trust him and by faith reach out, touch the hem of his garment. Listen to these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, that's homosexual, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't make up those words. It's God's word. Recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We can't live immoral lives and just pass it off as some human weakness or sometimes call good evil and other times call evil good and get it all mixed up and think that we can live some alternate lifestyle and do things contrary to God's law and get by with it. The scripture says very plainly that what a man sows, he's going to reap. And it says very plainly that we're not going to go to heaven if we live immoral lives. But then after saying all that, in the very next verse he says, and I'm so glad that the message didn't end with that period at verse 10, when he said that none of these shall inherit the kingdom of God, period. But I'm glad it didn't end right there, because the very next verse, verse 11, says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So many of these people had been fornicators, adulterers, practicing homosexuals, living unclean, immoral lives, and they used to be like that. So when the Lord says to us that the immoral shall not inherit the kingdom of God, he certainly didn't mean that those who have stumbled or sinned any time in our life, that we are excluded from eternal life and from heaven. Certainly not. Because when we come to Jesus with a broken heart, no matter what our sin, whether it be heterosexual or homosexual, wherever we have stumbled and failed God and lived immoral lives, if we will come with contrition and brokenheartedness and pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, he will always forgive us, always, always. And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified. That's the message of the gospel of peace, and how that God will take your temple and my temple, our body, and make it the temple of the Holy Ghost. But in that same chapter, he closes it with these two verses. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And I find that as a true man of God and a true woman of God, your utmost desire, no matter where all the confusion and all the debate and all the controversy whirls around us nowadays, your honest desire will be to please God in everything that you are, everything you do, everything you say, in your actions, in your words, even in the thoughts that you entertain and meditate on. You'll want to please God because you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Why don't we pray today that the Spirit of God would fill this temple again, afresh, anew. Lord, come into these temples. fill us with your Holy Spirit again, afresh, anew.
Let my spirit feel the warmth of your embrace. Let me be a holy habitation where your spirit is pleased.
It's been a privilege to spend these 30 minutes devotionally with you. This is John Thrasher. My time is about gone. I hope you have a good day, and may the Holy Spirit fill your temple through and through. God bless you.